coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your belief and trust in this platform. I have a lot of information to get into. We're going to get right into it. I want to thank Eric the Tech as well. He was doing some investigation, and we were looking at in both the events in Hawaii before, during, and after the fires. And the cluster, you know, that ensued. I want to start off with one video. Again, this is a compilation of I mean, deep research. Now, that's the stuff you can find, okay? But to authenticate, to qualify various clips, various pieces of news, whether it be from directly from a source in Maui to me, or to Eric the Tech and myself, or through a third party or open source, you know, we have to do our due diligence to make sure this is correct. But there are a lot of, as a matter of fact, what happened in Maui is, I would say, the modern day equivalent of 9/11, the anomalies of 9/11. The modern-day equivalent of down the memory hole of the Nashville bombing. You remember that on Christmas Day. Or the shooting in Las Vegas at the festival in Las Vegas. Okay. I'm going to show you clip number one. This is a security video that appears to show something triggering a deadly Maui fire. Now, this is Good Morning America. This is early on, okay? You've got to take, in my view, when you look at these events, you grab, as we have done, we grab all sorts of video, pieces of video. And I was reminded about this clip by a listener, MP, thank you so much. And I looked at it again, and I thought, okay, this is relevant to really trying to figure out what's going on, what happened, what the intent is. We know the MO is it's a multi-pronged MO, land grab, depopulation, smart cities, many aspects to this. None are mutually exclusive. They're all inclusive. Okay, let's go to clip number one. This is from Good Morning America, just about 5 days after the event, maybe 6 days after the event. Pay close attention to this. It's 3 minutes in length, but watch this. Listen to the explanation. Again, it's up to you. What you believe based on people who speak to you, firsthand knowledge, and even some open source research. But watch this.
The news out of Maui and the death toll climbing to 111 overnight as we learn more about what may have sparked the first fire. Gio Benitez starts us off with the latest. Good morning, Gio.
Hey, Michael, good morning. Yeah, for the first time, we're seeing new videos now of what may have started these fires in the first place, and they seem to point to downed power lines. It's all part of the investigation as the heartache here just grows.
This morning, as the death toll continues to grow on Maui, new video surfaces raising questions as to what may have sparked the deadliest wildfire in modern U.S. history.
111 people now confirmed dead, hundreds unaccounted for. Search and rescue teams have covered 38% of the impact zone.
FEMA, the Red Cross, and the military all on the ground.
I can tell you it's going to be a long and costly recovery, but much of that work will be done here with our local people.
And watch as this security camera captures what could be an early trigger in that devastating wildfire. August 7th at 10:47 p.m., a day earlier, you hear a witness describe a flash that might be a tree falling on a power line.
It's windy, and then is a flash. And I think that's when a tree is falling on a power line. The power goes out.
One expert saying those videos taken in upcountry Maui show the flames spreading and may be the first evidence of downed power lines igniting a fire.
We've got that video of that kind of explosion, and we've got 10 sensors in that community that show a very sharp drop in electrical voltage at precisely that same time.
The power line just went down.
By the next morning, August 8th, at 6:37 a.m. in Lahaina, Shane True uses a garden hose to battle a fire.
That's the power line that started from up the road there, and all of that is still burning.
Authorities declaring that brush fire under control around 9 a.m., but then lost control of the flames hours later when the winds caused a flare-up to spread.
Okay, let's stop that right there, and let's just stop that. You can watch the rest of the clip. I'm not going to go the entire 3 minutes in the interest of time. The fact that this fire department said, okay, we've got this contained, this under control. Anyone who's familiar with the fire departments, with the command structure, with SOP, knows that when you declare a fire under control, it is under control. Okay, end of story. It's contained. Believe me, you don't get on the radio and say it's under control, thinking, yeah, we got this. No. Okay, that's number one. Number two. The water, okay, that was being used to put that fire out was eventually, as you know, turned off. Number three, that flash that you saw and the power dip that allegedly corresponded with that, not necessarily related, could be, but not definitively. The reason I'm saying that is this next clip, the clip number two. This has been making its rounds on social media. Now we all know that we have direct energy weapons, okay? And just to be clear, you could have down power lines, you could have direct energy weapons, you could have an arsonist over there, you could have a deer smoking a cigar over here, okay? It doesn't matter. This is not mutually exclusive. You have more than one acceleration point or point of acceleration, point of fire. And especially with a fire of this magnitude. So if you've got a fire that's going out of control over here and you say, okay, we got it down, and it's true, then there's another problem somewhere, okay? If it's not true, but I have a tendency to think that it was probably true, they had it contained, but something else happened over here. We know, of course, the BlackRock or Vanguard, one of the two, owns a significant portion of Hawaii Electric, and based on that, okay, the upkeep of the brush over the wires, regardless of the cause, it was not taken care of. Okay, but let's move to potential direct energy weapons, which we know we have. Other countries have. Adversarial countries have. This is prime real estate. And one of the factors that Eric the Tech said, hey, you know what? I've been seeing a lot of videos, post-apocalyptic videos, of a lot of blue roofs. And he's correct.
Project Blue.
Yeah. Look, you can see it for yourself, but the media will say, don't believe your lying eyes. And there's a full court press on to tamp this story. But take a look at this social media post. And yes, different lasers, different frequencies, different colors. I get it. You get it. Look at this. Here it is. This is clip two. You see, that's a laser going down different colors of really flammable material. All right. So yellow, not a problem. Red, not a problem. Blue, it stalls out. Green, not a problem. and take a look at the car. It's blue, not a, well, there's a little bit of a scorch mark on the bottom passenger side. But why, the question was, why didn't the blue car go? Same as the blue umbrella, all right? There are blue roofs all over the place. Why were people putting on blue roofs on their homes, especially the millionaires and the people with large financial vested interests in Maui? Inquiring minds want to know.
And why do the majority of the aftermath photographs have people in blue shirts?
That is something I didn't catch. I don't know, in vogue? Okay. Well, you know, look, I get the fact that, you know, the trees didn't burn. Again, some anomalies, all right, with respect to this fire. The largest fire in modern U.S. history. If not the entire U.S. I've got questions. And you know, the people with the answers, I don't know if you've really got all the answers. But never fear.
Smurf roof will be finished tomorrow.
Yeah. By that time, they're gonna readjust the frequency on the lasers, and you're going to be toast. You know, and this is something that we look. We know that there's a massive land grab. There's a push for 15-minute cities. I don't think there's any argument there. We know that smart meters both receive and transmit. Okay, so it's interesting that a lot, if not all, of the houses in Hawaii have smart meters. Do you think that they played a role in this? I do. I really do. Because you can see on the devastation is massive. But as you look at certain structures, you can almost, if you know what you're looking for, you can almost pick out the point of acceleration. And in many cases, that would be around the smart meter. Just saying. Well, I shouldn't say many. In cases, a few cases I've seen, it would appear to me that the fire originated around where the electrical would come into the structure. Again, this is my observation. Take it for what it's worth. But never fear. Never fear. The fearless leader, Potato
Head Joe. Joe Biden is here.
Oh, gosh. Eric the Tech, you found this. This is more of an extended clip than what's on social media, although this was on social media, TikTok, I believe. You know, the Chinese spy app. But nonetheless, take a look at this guy and tell me. Let's talk about 2024 after we look at this. Look at this man. And for the radio listeners, if you haven't seen this, get some video footage of Biden visiting Maui. All right. It puts Weekend at Bernie's to shame. This guy is a corpse just sitting there. And he's nodding off. You know, whoever voted for this moron, I hope the hell you're embarrassed. I hope you feel guilty. But more importantly, I'm going to tell you right now, that man will not be on the ticket in 2024 if there is a ticket. If there is a ticket. I personally don't believe we're going to see normal elections in 2024. I personally don't see it. We were talking to Jack Cashel about this, and after the show. But the fact of the matter is, we all have differing opinions on this. I don't see 2024 happening as a normal election. I do see the fact that Douglas McGregor was on with Tucker Carlson yesterday. He was talking about NATO involvement in the war in Ukraine. It's got to be if they want to retain Ukraine or if the neocons have their way. And if that's the case, it's World War III. And it could have implications, sir, domestically. But getting back to Maui, because I'm going to touch on that momentarily. Let's get back to Maui, the land grab. This from NBC. This is clip 4 in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. Folks, understand, this. None of this is natural. None of this is natural. This is clip 4. Go ahead.
Realtors, people in the real estate industry, are calling your family and your friends who have lost everything to buy their plots of land.
It is disgusting. We have real estate investors and speculators going around calling our victims, offering to give them cash and buy their property. It is disgusting. It's a land grab. And I know that our Lahaina community, we are resilient and we will do whatever it takes to protect Lahaina.
And that's one of the big concerns as they search for the missing and the dead, is that Lahaina doesn't lose its spirit, right? That people from the outside don't come and rebuild and turn it into a tourist mecca.
We've already been displaced enough, and you know, we plan to have a seat at the table in rebuilding Lahaina and ensuring that the rich cultural history of Lahaina is protected and that the multi-generational families get to come back home.
And there you have it. You're going to see story after story after story, report after report about this very issue. They want that land. Why is it?
And let's face it. Half of those people are going to take that deal.
Sadly, yes. There will be a belligerent tribe, though, as she represents, I believe, that will refuse that. But I got a feeling that maybe one or two, you make an example out of one or two, and the others will change their mind. Plus, you've got eminent domain issues. You have people who are being evicted from homes by orders of the mayor for various purposes, including but not limited to setting up command stations. Do you see that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Beyond.
Think about it, though.
Yeah.
Most of these people have homeowners insurance.
But did you see where, for whatever reason, well, I shouldn't say whatever reason, citing act of God and other clauses within the policy, some companies are refusing to pay out? Did you see that?
Power lines are an act of God?
Well, again, it hasn't been, the cause hasn't been established.
That's what they say it is.
Yeah, that's what some say it is. That's what you saw in the initial NBC report, Good Morning America. But when I say refusing to pay out at this moment in time, whether that changes or not, and you know, having dealt with this, oh my goodness. Having dealt with insurance companies and Fortune 100 companies for 35 years, I got to tell you, okay, they'll wait till the last possible moment to pay out. So if they say no now, you got to get an attorney and you fight, or they'll cite something in the clause where they won't have to pay, at least not right away.
I mean, you'd assume that these people have insurance policies like they do in Florida.
Right. Of course.
For hurricanes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, there's a thing called proximate cause, too, okay, when you're dealing with insurance and death, destruction, proximate cause. Did the winds cause the fire? Did the winds, an act of God, the hurricane, cause that fire? It certainly caused it to spread. So it...
I guess my reason for saying that is if you are able to collect on the insurance,
yes,
and get an offer on your land, a lot of people are going to take that deal.
Yes, except the history of that particular area, as I understand it. Now, you've got a lot of native natives to that area. And don't forget, that was the capital of the kingdom before America took it over, that specific area. So, and you have a lot of indigenous native people, that's a wrong descriptive term, who are new generations in that area. I mean, you're talking about multi-generations. So there's a segment of that population who refused to give it up. But let's not take our eyes off of what the objective is of these psychopaths behind the curtain. And again, my opinion, psychopaths, people that run, operate, manage places like BlackRock and Vanguard, State Street Capital, and many of the other corporations that own everything, or the billionaires. They've got vested interests. I mean, you look at Oprah, you look at Bill Gates, you look at all of the others who own land greater than the government of Hawaii itself on Maui. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-numbing. More on that, however, because we've got a lot more to get into. I want to show you this. You talk about mind-blowing. Okay. I live in Pennsylvania. Eric the Tech lives. We were broadcasting from Pennsylvania. Oh, by the way, Michael Yon tomorrow about the border. And a week from yesterday, next Wednesday, will be Tom Renz. You know, the globalists are pushing back. They're pushing people through the border. They're opening. They're welding, by the way. The doors open, especially in Arizona. Portions of the gate or portions of the fence, making a gate, welding it open, ostensibly for the antelope to go through back and forth or whatever wildlife to go through, but also allowing illegals to come through, but I digress. So we're just seeing a lot of weird things. Speaking of weird things, I live in Pennsylvania, and of course, the people of Pennsylvania allegedly, I didn't, and I don't know who, I don't know anyone who did, but then again, what do I know? Fetterman. Will the real John Fetterman please stand up? Revolver's reporting this. Big problem with the new and improved John Fetterman. He looks nothing like the old one. Check this out. Okay, the guy on the left looks like the guy from the meth lab guy, Breaking Bad. What are you laughing at? Okay, and the guy on the right, well, we all know who that guy is.
John got ear surgery.
Yeah, he must have got his ears pinned back, and I don't know, maybe some cranial...
His skull widened.
Yeah, some cranial work done. Can you put Botox, you know, and stretch the skull, bone, cranium?
And after all of his health issues, he technically should be skinnier than the picture on the right.
Well, the new John is on the left.
That's what I'm saying. He should be skinnier.
Oh, yeah, oh absolutely. Right. Oh, yes. Yes, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Frail.
Should like be more me.
Frail.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say about this. Folks, do you? Put it in the comment section on Rumble, but you have to subscribe to our feed, Hagmann Report, in order to comment. What do you think about this? You think it's the same guy? And who
we've been seeing this stuff forever.
Yeah, you know, everything is an illusion. Who wrote that?
We've got a non-sleepy Joe.
And we have a sleepy Joe.
We know there's a Hillary double.
Whew. Just sent shivers down my spine. to think there's two of them. And then Fetterman. Look, okay. If I were to put a bolo out, be on the lookout for, okay, the guy on the right. You wouldn't. I think the guy on the left could go through any roadblock there might be and get away with it. I want some libtard leftist to tell me, oh, no, you're seeing things. Or, you know, it's just the miracles of medical wonders. Okay.
We're just conspiracy kooks, the first part of the show.
I'm gonna tell you what. Yeah, you, conspiracy's my patoot. Okay. I'm telling you. The Maui fires, when you... Okay, so just to be clear.
You're not angry enough today.
No, you know what? I've been working. What's coming up next is going to blow your mind.
You must be Doug's double.
I am. I'm Doug's Doug. Of course, it's...
Your ears look funny today.
Well, they can pull them out. You know, never mind. I was thinking about something, but I there's only one way to tell. Never
take
mind.
Take your shirt off.
Why, you think I got a Nubin? Not a nub? Or what do you call it? What do you call those? Never mind. All right. What happened in Maui, again, I just want to revisit this briefly. There's nothing normal about this. They wanted people to die. The electric company, along with the police department, actually did things to create, cause many people to die.
That never happens.
It always, well, it did in this case.
School shootings.
That's about the only thing that didn't happen yet in Maui.
It's all right. Our kids are getting shot up. Let's just stand out here.
Yeah. I'm going to use some hand sanitizer and just wait for 71 minutes or however long that was. Clearly, folks, a reference to Uvalde. Okay. But one thing I didn't show, and this is the other one, the second one on page two, show prep. 1 in 4 school children. Have you seen this? 1 in 4 Maui children are likely missing from school as classes resume. Okay, now hold on just 1 second here. Bottom line, there's like 3,357 children. Some have been reassigned. Some have been... doing some remote education, but the bottom line here is about 1 in 4. We're not sure. I mean, we're not sure what happened to them. Children. And you know what really is enough to anger everyone listening to this? The people in charge have put up a corridor, a wall, around Maui. It's easier to get in, obviously, to at this point, probably to the capital, than it would be to get into Maui.
I mean, on one hand, these people's homes are gone.
Yes.
So probably the last thing they're thinking about is, oh, we got to get Jimmy to school.
Yes.
That was untouched?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I agree. But in the areas that are the most heavily affected, impacted, we're talking, look, when you look at,
we've experienced the children side of things with Katrina.
Yes.
And cartels and stuff coming in, taking kids, things like that.
When you look, though, when you look at the Maui from the air, the destruction, What do you think of? I mean, you know that there had to be kids. Why were the kids kept home? The parents went to work. The kids stayed home from school. Many were burned alive inside the houses by government edict. But when you see that, does that remind you of anything? That scene? Does that remind you like of 9/11?
Yes.
Okay. The dustification, if that's a word.
Yep.
Of everything, the melting of metal. Look, I understand the way aluminum melts and metal. I understand all that. Okay, but some of the anomalies
three things that stayed.
Yeah, yeah.
Blue roofs,
blue cars,
blue umbrellas, blue people.
Yeah, Smurfs.
Structures with metal roofs and cinder block walls. That's an incineration.
And how is it that some of the plastic didn't melt?
Say that again?
How is it that some of the plastic didn't melt? Whether it be fencing or whether it be trellises. We saw that. That while metal melted and even twisted, much like the Trade Center,
yeah,
plastic was fine.
Textbook.
So all of this tells me.
And now.
Yeah.
This makes me think of 9/11 now, with the new weapons. Like I never thought about that being used in that.
You know, Dr. Judy Wood talked about everything turning to dust, and I remember talking to some people, firemen, policemen, but the one officer that took me behind the scenes on 9/11, it didn't hit me until recently. He said, you know, because I saw a couple of days after this happened when I was there, I did see on the pavement where bodies hit the pavement. I mean, it was not a pretty sight, and I mean it was horrible. But the number, it didn't hit me. You hear a number, and it's just a number sometimes, you know. But when you're talking about 1,000 jumped to their deaths. Okay, now reconcile that. If you reconcile that, it really doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't believe there were that many above the fires that at that moment were being cooked. I'm so sorry for the description.
Well, we had a lot of people that were just sitting on the exterior of the building.
You're right.
Being blocked by the cement of the building.
Right. And some of the people who jumped actually... how can I put this delicately? Broke open during the fall. That's not natural. You reach a terminal velocity. It is not going to do that to you. Some other force has to.
I mean, I'm thinking there might have been some type of dew weapon in the building. In the buildings.
Well, I don't know enough about how they work. But I do know this. I believe that there was some sort of microwave, some yeah. action
I mean,
going on.
If you
on.
Can put it in the air, you can put it on the ground.
I suppose you can. Okay. Yeah, I mean, thermite, I would expect to find thermite for other reasons. But the bottom line is...
To get that job done.
Yeah.
That was always the question. That's a lot of work.
You're actually right. I believe that the more I look at this, And you know, oh man, this is, I'm going down a different path. So there are organizations, I'm not going to name them, who stick to a specific narrative and that's it, period. I'm sticking to this narrative. I'm not going to name the organization that I'm thinking of.
Most of them?
Well, I think Dr. Judy Wood's been pretty fair in looking at other possibilities. But there's one.
If you're looking for crayfish, you got to lift the rock.
And if you don't lift the rock, then you're part of the problem. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was my redneck quote of the day.
It sounds like you actually have done that. Okay. But look, we're going to be pushing and pushing and pushing on this because this is all part of a bigger plan. Obviously, you know this. And if you've been watching Alex Jones, you know that. Now, here's the other. I'm going to get to this really bad. I spent a long time on this. Folks, look, we are by, I would say, 30, 60, 90 days at the most, 60, really, and that's pushing it. 30 is more like it. We will be in lockdown mode like you've never seen if we allow it. And that's the key, if we allow it. Now, I don't know how many people have seen this, but I did a deep, 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 deep dive. I was able to find the smoky back room where this whole thing, where the decentralized planning, one of many decentralized planning centers actually is creating a situation where lockdowns will occur again. And I want to show you something. So, if we can go to clip number 5. Here it is. This is Alex Jones talking about this, I think.
So here's the head vaccine expert in Texas saying we've got to, quote, get rid of the white people. Here it is.
The solution. Every study published in the last 5 years, when you look at vaccine refusers, I'm not talking about, well, hesitance, most of them we can talk into coming to terms, but refusers. We'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States because Houston is the most diverse city in the entire United States. There's 7 Asian languages spoken. The solution.
So, and she goes on, we'll put the whole clip on InfoWars.com. It's a 10-minute clip. She says,
for a second, just to be clear, she said, for the vaccine refusers, we'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States. Okay, it's over anyway. Now keep that in the back of your mind. Here is my issue. When did this, was she taken out of context? Did she really say what she said? Who the hell is she?
With that haircut, she means it.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm going to tell your mother. So I drilled down on this. What I found, I did not like. And what I found is happening now all across the United States with different groups, primarily with NGOs. Does this sound familiar? You have NGOs working at the southern border, engaged in human trafficking. You've got NGOs now involved in these lockdowns. And I'm telling you right now, I believe we are identifying those people who are directly responsible, and we are finding the game plan that so many people have been looking for and have found, but this is more of a fine-tuned effort. This is ready for prime time in this case. All right, so I showed you this woman. Hang on a second here. Let me grab my notes. All right. Here's where that came from. That was the National Meningitis Association meeting. What are you laughing at? Were you laughing? Did that look funny? What? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. Should I be concerned? Okay. This was a National Meningitis Association meeting. The date on this was, you ready? May 9th, 2016.
Were they debating the causes, the vaccine?
Well,
meningitis, or what? Why is she there?
Okay. She represent... Now, in her capacity, her name is Carol Baker, Dr. Carol Baker from Baylor College. And she was the CDC advisory committee on vaccinations. Okay, that's her role there. This was a roundtable in New York, New York. 6 months, let's see, May, 6 months before the elections of 2016. Again, think about this. 6 months before the 2016 elections. That's important to understand. And she was there as part of the CDC. Other people there, the president of that organization, Lynn Bozoff, and of course, Dr. Carol Baker, who I just referenced. Arthur Kaplan, remember these names. And you can go back, the link will be at HagmanPI.com. Dr. Paul Offit. Oh, you know Dr. Paul Offit. I know you know Dr. Paul Offit. Allison and then Dorit, and I don't have her last name written down. There's Allison there that was the president of the Autism Science Foundation. Dr. William Schaffner, I call him a media liaison. Dr. Paul Lee, who was acting as a moderator. Now, I want you to see a couple of things because this is going to get pretty deep real quick here. All right. The source video is video A on the in the program description at HagmanPI.com, but watch this. Let's go to segment number one. This starts about 8.5 minutes in. Go ahead.
So these vaccines really have an impact, even when they've occurred and been started being given quite recently. But however, there's also been, as we've started giving these vaccines, a pushback and a lot of anti-vaccine sentiment. And this goes back even back to the 1800s when the smallpox vaccine became sort of mandated. And if you actually look, there was this went all the way to the Supreme Court, Jacobson versus Massachusetts in 1905, where a parent claimed that he and his son had a bad reaction to the smallpox vaccine and they didn't want it. So even though this has been sort of a historic kind of thing, the anti-vaccine movement, maybe and possibly because of the rise in social media and the ability to everybody to kind of post their opinions and really get that word out there, has really possibly contributed to this resurgence in diseases that were previously well controlled.
Now, I want you to think about this. 6 months before the 2016 election, this is... this is a roundtable, again, with the aforementioned people talking about vaccine hesitancy. But the subject here in this case is meningitis. Now, but more broadly, childhood vaccines. But here is the other part of this, the flip side of this. Taking this template to other NGOs It is the same template. And as we go through a couple more clips, you're going to see some things. And when you flip it, just flip it, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about, how this was this scandemic was managed. Let's go to clip segment two, 10:51.
And of course, flu. When you go to the flu, you know, when you go to your doctor, you know, the doctor asks you, do you want a flu shot? No, that's like asking, do you want to get kicked in the head? You know, if you have a choice of between getting a flu shot, why is it being offered to you? You know, most of the other shots you just get. You need your tetanus booster. Okay, it's not like, hey, would you like this? You know, we need to really be kind of firmer about this because it is a standing recommendation. It is recommended for children from 6 months to 18 years of age. So it's not really an option. It's a recommendation. And we are good with it. I mean, we know that the infants get the vaccines. We know every year we see the, you know, news clips of the elderly standing in line, 65 and up, getting their flu vaccines. In between, you know, it really is that sort of bell-shaped curve and down here. So less than 50% of adolescents 13 to 17 get that flu vaccine, even though it is a recommendation.
Gee, why do you think that is? And why are you troubled by that?
Wouldn't you love to be in a locked room with this dude?
Man, I'll tell you what. Yeah. Now, this is the inner workings of what I would call this particular star chamber. So I have my lawyers on speed dial. Okay. Remember, this all started out by Alex Jones and by others showing that clip by Carol Baker. Hey, we'll just get rid of all the whites in the United States. That'll fix everything. Okay. So I wanted to find out where that came from. And this is the National Meningitis Association, which is a 501c3, which had all of these people there in this room in New York City 6 months before the election. And they talk about different things. They gripe, but then they do. Segment 3, 1222, watch this.
There are other fat contributing factors that may lead to this kind of anti-vaccine sentiment. There are celebrities, you know, they don't understand the science or the scientific process, but they feel like they can comment on, you know, vaccines, and they can and weigh in on, you know, the credibility of discredited physicians. I won't name any names, Andrew Wakefield, but they prefer to rely on their anecdotes and their non-science as opposed to the facts. I mean, I don't tell them how I think that their performance in that latest blockbuster was, you know, should have been, you know, you should have done this differently. You know, they probably wouldn't listen to me, but yet they feel free to comment on what I do for a living. And despite, you know, the fact that maybe I did have a little bit more medical training, they are equally, you know, credible, and their opinion should count as much as mine in terms of the safety and efficacy of these vaccines.
Now, Eric the Tech, since you've been quite vocal, let me ask you a question.
I am better than you.
Yeah.
You're going to ask.
Go on.
How many celebrities are in that boat?
Right.
Say about 2%.
Okay. But he was complaining. He's saying, hey, you know, these celebrities, they're anti-vax.
That's such bullcrap. 2% are anti-vax.
Oh my gosh. And he's saying, we got to change this. How'd you like me to come down to your place of business and, you know?
I'm the rock star of the vaccine.
Exactly. Where's
my friggin' cookie?
Your cookie's in the oven, brother. The easy bake oven. But think about this. 6 months before the election, that was the sentiment where the doctors, the specialists, They had a real problem with the celebrities because of the anti-vax. And the only thing going through my head when I saw this was that moron, that Steve Colbert. If I ever get him, I'll tell you what, I'd like to smack him upside the head because he reminds me of somebody I know, which I really just absolutely detest. But anyway, that vaccine crap, okay? Seriously, he's complaining about this. Okay, but it gets better. Remember, this is one location, one of many others. This is a 501c3.
I don't know if I can watch more of this.
Oh, you wait.
This dude's pissing me off.
Well, we're going to put that dude aside here momentarily because he's just the MC. But something he says really is going to hack you off, and I know hack these people off. Again, remember, this is going on behind the scenes long before COVID scandemic and all this other, and even before the election. Let's go to segment 4.
We do it differently. Even presidential candidates have weighed in on this issue. We know that, I guess if we're going to talk about the two local candidates, so we know that Hillary weighed in saying the science is clear, the earth is round, the sky is blue, and vaccines work. Hashtag vaccines work. Let's protect all our kids, and a nice little hashtag, grandmothers know best. But
I've never hated someone so much.
Can you kiss her ass any tighter than that?
Sometimes they get it wrong. We'll talk about the other candidate from this state, who I won't name, but he does have a tower on Fifth Avenue just down the block. Healthy young child goes to doctor, gets pumped with massive shots of many vaccines, doesn't feel good, and changes. And all in caps, so somebody should tell him not to yell. Autism, many such cases. So I'm not telling you how to vote in November, but just bear that in mind.
Yeah, that's real funny. Autism is real funny. Okay. From Robert.
You wanted me to pause there.
Right there? Or did you pass a pause?
Right there.
Okay. Autism is real funny, isn't it? Robert Kennedy's book, RFK Jr.'s book. Yeah, I'm going to quote from it right now. Under Fauci. The allergic, autoimmune, and chronic illnesses, which Congress specifically charged NIAID to investigate and prevent, have mushroomed to afflict 54% of children, up from 12.8% when he took over NIAID in 1984. Okay. So the guy sucks at his job at the very least.
He sucks other things.
Or he's very efficient in his job. The autism rates have gone from 2 in 10,000 to right now 1 in 36. But, hey, it's not the vaccines, right? It's not the childhood schedule of vaccines.
Hashtag Hillary.
Yeah, hashtag Hillary. All right, let's continue on with this moron.
But it is challenging for parents when they're hearing all of this, you know, especially on, you know, social media. And it's hard for them to really know where they're going to get that information. But they are getting information, you know, from Jenny McCarthy, you know, reality TV star, you know, Andrew Wakefield, discredited physician, and Donald Trump, Donald Trump.
You like that? Yeah, Donald Trump. Wait a minute. You bitch when they say, look, rethink this. There's a connection to autism. But you push them out in front of a camera to push the experimental gene therapeutic, Frankenstein jabs. Right? And you clap like friggin' seals. Does that make sense to you? I mean, you do the responsible thing. You got to get your jab. They're saying this. It's just not in New York on the 9th of May of 2016 with this group of people, with this 501c3. These are the talking points, and it goes from Collins to Fauci to all the 501c3s that are involved in any kind, that have any physician contact, that have any board members who are physicians. This is what this is all about. So these are the smoky back rooms, if there were any, but of course they'd be what's it called now? Ganja, you know, the weed.
Oh, they're going to be real smoky soon.
I'm going to tell you, for other reasons. Okay, so we take this, this gets better or worse depending on your...
Then you got Joe sitting there.
You know, it's hard to imagine this getting any worse, except to have, you would have Biden going, hey, hey, drooling. But watch this segment. So, excuse me, what is this, segment five?
The smoky room's getting to you.
I guess so. Low-hanging smoke. Segment five.
You know, today you're getting three vaccines. You're getting the one for the whooping cough, you're getting the one for meningitis, and you're getting the one for cancer. And Paul said, don't offer it. Well, it's up to your mother. It's up to your parents. Just give it. And I think that doctors bear part of this blame. There are a small proportion of people. I don't know how it is elsewhere, but in Texas, we now have the parents who and this is a big part. We want things to be natural. We don't want chemicals. We want natural.
No, she hates the natural. I'm going to break your friggin' fingers, those air quotes, stick them right up your, you know what.
Nazi women had a haircut. That would be it.
That, there you go. That's where, okay, that's where it's recognizable from. I might walk over to the preview mirror and put a little mustache. The problem with that, it would stay there. But here's,
oh, it's there. It's just shaving.
She's talking about the human papillomavirus. Okay, for children, infants, to give them to infants. That's a sexually transmitted disease. They don't need it at 6 months. And what she's saying in this particular case about that particular virus, just the doctors, don't ask, tell, give it. These are the talking points. You see where this is going. These are the talking points. These are the people who are individually coming to this room. You've got the CDC person. You got the media liaison with academia. You've got the various other physicians.
What's her name again?
Dr. Carol Baker.
Okay.
Otherwise known as...
I'm thinking of nicknames. I'm trying to.
Yeah. I'm thinking of something else, too. All right, let's go to the next one. This is important here. I can't.
Expanding on what Dr. Baker said, do you think it's ethical, then, for pediatricians to decline to care for a child whose parents refuse to have them vaccinated according to the CDC or American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations?
So the Academy, just heads up, the American Academy of Pediatrics is discussing their current guideline, which is, you can't fire families. You can't say, I don't want unvaccinated children in my waiting room. So that discussion is out there among the experts, the people who know the science. I live in a different world. I can take the time and do the work. I think people out there struggling with their 10-minute slot for a well child visit are having a very hard time. And so this battle is going to go on no matter what policy is. Unless it's a law and you're in violation of the law, physicians will refuse to take care of vaccine-refusing families. They don't want to take the time. They don't want to expose their other patients. And unless you have fever and a rash and they know to bring you in the back way, some offices don't have a back way, and you are exposing others. And that, you know, that's why the Disneyland measles epidemic spread so well, is we had a lot of susceptible people out there, and they traveled back to wherever they came from. And So people need to know that these are dangerous diseases. The media, I think, and the both the legal people and the media, I thought did a better job of talking about our obligation to our neighbors as well as to our own families with the measles outbreak than I've seen in a long time. I don't know what others think about that.
You know what? So what do you think about this? This is the collective now. Now you're talking about a communist system. Okay, this is no longer about health. This is about, for the collective good, for the good of the collective, for the common good.